brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Yes, it's sippin' time. Hello and welcome to this Sips episode, where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m., other than Elon and his rocket at 2 a.m.
Was it at 2 a.m.?
No. I don't know. It was like late last night.
It was 3:30 p.m. they took off.
It was like 19 hours later they were going to dock. So
that was this morning, 10 a.m.
I don't know. I passed out long before then, so no, just from sleep, not from the alcohol. Well, I mean from heroin.
The alcohol helps,
but not
with
the heroin.
No, the heroin doesn't.
Well, this is a 1 hour show.
Yeah, it's been an hour.
It's a 1 hour show.
A 1 hour show. We're only gonna, that's the only part we're going to give it. It's a 1 hour show.
Definitely a 1 hour show.
No, yep. No, this is going to be an entertaining.
Kind of like a 3 hour cruise.
Yeah.
No, a three-hour tour?
Tour.
Three I'm not tour. Allowed on three-hour tours.
I know. Well, yeah. Mr. Howell.
Yeah. No, not allowed on a three-hour tour at all. Last time I tried to go on the Jungle Queen, they kicked me off. Of course, me and the wife showed up with 14 suitcases, and they said, no, I don't think so. Well, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today are Made Man Brent.
And it's a pleasure to be here. You know I'm not wearing any pants.
Why does he own
pants? You don't even own pants.
I know that.
But I mean, he's wearing a tutu, but I mean, that's just because he's, you know, he's comfortable with his masculinity.
Florida. It is Florida.
Yeah. The longer I live in Florida, the more I understand the Scots in a kilt, man. Let me tell you.
Right.
I wish they would become socially acceptable here because that's
not really that hot there. It doesn't really make sense.
I don't know. It's hot. Reasons. You know, the boys could use a little ventilation. I'm just saying.
They ever felt one of those things? It's like a wool blanket.
Yeah. I don't go around stealing other man's kilts.
Are you talking about the kilt or
the kilt? I'm talking about the kilts.
I mean, I know your line of work. You've probably felt both, but you know, no, I've never felt the other. No, yeah. Kilt, yes,
okay,
yes, uncomfortable. Okay, Madman Maury.
I'm not comment on any of this.
And good old boy Justin.
Oh, thank God it's dark in the basement, so I don't have to look at Brent with no pants.
Last time I was a scout, when I was walking around Glasgow, and I went by a store that actually sold kilts, and I'm looking in the window, and I'm like, should I buy? Like, no, I'd look like a Catholic schoolgirl on a really, really bad day after a bad, bad night out drinking. And good old boy Harmeet. Speaking of a Catholic schoolgirl after a bad, bad night out, good old boy Harmeet.
No. It's always a good night out when I take a Catholic schoolgirl home. For her. It's a good night for her because I take her home and politely take her to escort her to the door and say good night. Tell your parents you're home on time.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Not happening.
Not happening. Believe that. I've got some swamp land to sell.
Yeah. Harmeet's last name is Epstein. And Harmeet didn't kill himself. So, Brent and Maury and myself are with the Bourbon Mafia. The Bourbon Mafia is a nonprofit organization composed of bourbon enthusiasts and industry professionals with representation in 8 states and 2 countries. Our members combine a love of bourbon with a passion for charitable work. The group uses their love of our native spirit to raise money for local and national charities through rare bottle auctions and other themed events and making damn fine hand sanitizer as well. And check us out on Facebook at the Bourbon Mafia. We are also sponsored in part by the Fort Lauderdale Whiskey Society. To find out more about the society and their events, you can visit them at ftlws.com.
You said it right the first time. You have not drunk enough.
Yeah, I haven't.
What's going on, man?
You just got here. I mean, if you'd been here on time, I'd have drunk a lot more, trust me. And our show is also sponsored in part by Fine Spirits in Cooper City, Florida, home of the Enigmatic Machines, serving great wines, whiskeys, and other spirits by the glass. You can find them at www.finespirits.net or at EpsteinDidn'tKillHimself.com.
Facebook.com/FineSpirits. By the way, we deliver now, if you're local. If you're in Australia, I can't do anything for you right now.
lazy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and pretty much anything else that you can drink. And today's show is a range of whiskeys. We've got some lovely bourbons and we've got some lovely scotches. So this is sort of a mix and mash. But we have got today the Elijah Craig Barrel Proof Batch B520. So that has just been released. I don't even think it's
not
in
actually out
yet
in Florida. We get the samples early for the show because we're special.
And you're special, all right. That's what the guidance counselor used to say. We have
short bus.
Yeah, definitely short bus.
Yeah, shortest of all.
It's called a window liquor. So, we have the Larceny Barrel Proof, the B520 as well. And we have brand new from our friends at Sazerac, the Weller Single Barrel. We have from Balvenie, we have a trio of lovely whiskeys here. Sweet Toast of American Oak 12-year. We have the Day of Dark Barley 26, and we have the Week of Peat 14-year-old. So since we have so many cask-strength whiskeys, we're going to have Justin tell us about our sips ratings in the most manly way that he can figure it out.
Hear me now and believe me later. One sips. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
Oh, you sound like a girly man when you say it that way. It makes me excited, yeah. I can see your pectorals over from here. They're bulging. Would you like to come and touch my monkey?
Two sips. Nice. But what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Get to the chopper. Three sips. Interesting, but what was this again?
Interesting.
Oh, was our South African there.
Yeah. Poor Harmi.
Yeah, that's definitely South African. Yeah. That's
four funny. Sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's just South African after a lot of alcohol.
That's not my favorite Austrian. And
Quaaludes, I think.
Give him another drink.
Yeah.
Five sips. Oh my, I was unaware anything could be this good.
As someone told Maria. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Was that Maria or was that the maid? I can't tell.
I believe Justin has some kids with the maid too.
You know, what can I tell you?
Lord. Well, we broke a record. It's 8 minutes in. We're already in the bottom of the toilet. So let's move on. Yeah. And we're going to have Brent tell us about our first whiskey of the day. So take it away, Brent.
Thanks, Bob. Our first whiskey is the Elijah Craig Barrel Proof B520. It's 127.2 proof, 63.6% alcohol by volume for those doing the math.
So it's kind of weak, right?
Kind of weak.
Mm-hmm. Really mad whiskey.
It's, but it will it's kill what Corona. I use it every day to kill the Corona.
That's true.
That's if I keep this in my mouth at all times, I never have to worry about it.
Or the Macarena. Either one of them.
Keep some in your nostrils as
right,
well.
Right, that's say as backwash well. A little bit through little, the nose.
Right, a little backwash through the nose always works.
This is medicinal. Right? Yeah. Medicinal whiskey. Totally.
Yeah, the doc will write you a script if
that's
you ask
right.
him nicely.
Have some scripts.
So, like each batch, this Elijah Craig Barrel Proof is an uncut small batch of 12-year-old bourbon bottled straight from the barrel, released three times a year, and this quality from batch to batch is a true testament to the attention to the detail and craftsmanship at Heaven Hill Distillery. The first letter of the batch number indicates which of that year's releases the bottle was a part of, starting with A. So, you have A, B, and C, maybe even more if there's more, but... mostly it's A, B, and C. So while the second digit is a number that determines the month of the year the bottle was released, the third and fourth digits indicate the year. TB520 is the second release for 2020 and comes in at 127.2 proof. Color of this, a nice dark copper color.
Mahogany.
Mahogany.
I want mahogany.
I mean, it's like
if you're Justin, it's brown.
Brown?
Brown.
It's brown. It's just a beautiful.
But so is Harmeet. So what?
A beautiful dark
brown. I am a completely
beautiful.
Different brown. I'm more.
I got chestnut today.
I like to think of it as sort of more Jamocha.
Jamocha.
Yeah. Jamocha.
I was thinking cafe latte okay. for him.
We should make a Jamocha shake with this in it.
Well,
we're talking about the bourbon, racist freaks.
But really,
we got a little rule back home. If it's brown, drink it down.
That's right. I'm surrounded by, I'm Jamocha, just surrounded by vanilla ice cream here.
So on the nose, this is just beautiful. You get caramel.
Cruising in my 5.0.
Caramel, you got some fruit notes. You got apples and oranges. Just a little bit of vanilla on there. Oh. On the palate. Oh, just beautiful. It's a little bit of a spice bomb. And then it's just, but it's blended so well. You got the caramel and vanilla. You got butterscotch. You get all these nice baking spices, cloves. A little bit of cinnamon on the end. And the finish just does not want to stop. It just wants to just coat your mouth, lingers to the back, and just keeps on going. Can't stop this one. No stopping this train. Every year, I'm pleased when these come out. I look forward to them every year. Yeah. I've got them from a long time ago, and they don't.
You're so full of it. You don't keep a bottle more than 15 minutes. They're all empty. You still got them, you know.
Right, that's what I meant. I have the empty bottle from a long time ago. Come
on, think of the children. Recycle.
Right, I fill them with pennies, and then they're just as heavy as when they were full.
Yeah. He fills them with pennies. He's got $26 million worth of pennies in these damn bottles. So, well, what'd you think, Justin? Besides, it's brown.
Well, other than it being brown.
Well, thank you. Now, a word from our sponsor.
I got vanilla and cinnamon, clove and apricot on the nose. On the palate, classic bourbon, vanilla, caramel, butterscotch, black pepper, and cinnamon. It has the perfect amount of oily versus dry. The mouthfeel was some of the best I've ever had in any spirit. And it's a long, smooth, luxurious finish. This is a great way to hide out from the virus. Right here.
Yeah.
What do you think, Harm?
I think you didn't leave me enough time before the commercial, but whatever. I'll say it. It's bourbon. It's good bourbon. I want it. Give me more of this. This is awesome. Thank you, Heaven Hill. You know, they did a good job. And I think what you guys, actually, I agree. I don't know where you pulled out apricot, but Brent was dead on with the baking spices. I added water to mine because I'm not such a manly man as either anybody else in this room.
Yeah.
Did it help?
Well, that's for sure. We all know that much.
Whatever.
Ich bin ein
Science! Science! Ha.
Cannabinoids! Genetics! Coronavirus!
Dogs!
This is Petri Dish.
Science! Science!
We're a science podcast exploring complex subjects with clarity and evil humor. Ha.
Join the scientific revolution!
Join Petri Dish, dropping every Monday on anchor.fm/PetriDish. Ha.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And I'm Jason Horton.
And we're the hosts of Ghost Town, a comedy podcast about all places abandoned, tragic, mysterious, haunted, and true crimey.
That's not a word. We cover all kinds of locations like
the Los Feliz Murder House,
an LA murder frozen in time, Action Park,
the world's most dangerous amusement park, JonBenet Ramsey's house, Woodstock 99, the Cecil Hotel, and the Black House.
Ooh, Satan. Mm. So pause the podcast you're currently listening to immediately and go subscribe to Ghost Town.
You can find us at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we're talking about the new release of the Elijah Craig Barrel Proof, the B520. Harm was sharing with us his thoughts on it.
Okay, so I think that the water helped it for me, especially because I'm a little bit, you know, lightweight. From last night.
Lightweight. You'll never kill the virus if you water it down.
If I keep watering it down, we'll kill the rest. Exactly. But look, for me, water brings out more layers of flavor. And frankly, it did kick up the spice a lot. And the cinnamon and the baking spices do come out on the finish. But what Justin was saying about the mouthfeel, actually, he was right. Damn it, Justin. When are you right? But this is good. This is wonderfully made. I've not had a bad Elijah Craig. And our barrel pick we did with the Fort Lauderdale Whiskey Society was amazing. And unfortunately, it's all gone now. But I've not had a bad Elijah Craig. And these barrel-proof bottlings are excellent. These people who go on and on about, well, you know, C-2018 or 518, whatever, not probably yeah. 918.
Yeah. The third release of 2017
was... No, you were talking about 2013.
Slightly more, you know, astringent than, you know, the 2018. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah, come on. Mm. They're all good. They're all good. I mean, and some are a little gooder than others, but yeah, they're all good.
But adding the water brought out a little bit more besides apple and orange. I think I got a little more cherry coming out, but usually I thought... Usually, for me, Elijah Craig tends to be a cherry bomb, but there's not much cherry in this one at all, right?
No, not at all.
But this was great. Bob, what do you think?
I think it's got a great nose. I mean, it's, you know, it's got some caramel and toasted, you know, real big toasted oak on it. And a little bit of apple and a little bit of orange. And a little bit of dried apricot. And on the palate.
Both of you said apricot, you and Justin. I don't get the apricot.
No, I wish I did, but I didn't.
And on the palate, it's, I get some barrel char, a huge vanilla, big caramel bomb, lots of butterscotchy notes on the back palate and the sides.
That's another thing I disagree with. I don't get the butterscotch.
Yeah, on the back, not on the front. And then black pepper, cinnamon. It's like, you know, like you spilled the whole thing full of baking spice in your kitchen when you were cooking. It's just
poof. Yeah, it is a spice bomb. Yeah, it's really just,
yeah.
But I mean, that's what's nice
front.
About it.
Not right. up front, no, but so on the finish. Yeah.
Exactly. Right,
and it
right.
just, oh, it goes
but
down.
But it's not too drying. Sometimes you get spice bombs, they're very drying.
No, sometimes it's like you did inhale the baking spice and you've got it in your mouth.
The cinnamon challenge.
And it's dry. And yeah, exactly.
This is not the cinnamon challenge.
This is like a warm, you know, cinnamon roll. Just, and it goes on and on. It's got a great finish to it.
It's not so sugary as the cinnamon roll. It's just got the spices there. The warmth.
I would agree. It's not sweet.
It's not sweet. No, not sweet. No, just, but that warm sort of buttery, baking spicy sort of cinnamon roll-y, you know, a cinnamon roll before you pour all that sugary crap on top of it. So, yeah, it's lovely. What'd you think, Maury?
Well, I agree with most of what's been said. I particularly agree with Brent's comments. I thought it had a lot of classic vanilla flavors on the nose, you know, the caramel, the toasted oak, hints of apple and orange. Beautiful on the palate. Again, classy bourbon. I did think it was a little spicy, but I wouldn't call it a spice bomb. For me, it was more heat. It was a little hot on the palate.
Put the water in it.
I didn't find the water really helped.
Really?
No, I didn't find the water helped. I thought it had a beautiful long finish, definitely a lot of baking spice on the finish. Again, I wouldn't call it overspiced like a spice bomb sort of implies a little overspiced. I thought it was nicely balanced, and with the exception of being a little hot, I thought it was a beautifully made whiskey. I think for the money, you're hard to find anything better, especially at 127 plus proof.
Spice bomb implies we love it. Spice turd, on the other hand, just means there's too much and we don't like it. Write that down.
All right, I'll write that down.
So, yeah, it's a lovely whiskey. And again, Heaven Hill, every time they release one of these, killing it, you know, with the best value out there, honestly. I mean, for the money, that's one of the best bourbons you can get for the dollar is always an Elijah Craig Barrel Proof. So, we didn't quite make it all the way up, but we're giving this one a 4.
That's classified.
And three quarters. So
yeah, well deserved.
So we're going to be moving on to our next whiskey. So we're going to have Justin tell us about that one. It's brown.
Earplugs.
It tastes like alcohol.
It does taste like alcohol. No. Larceny Barrel Proof, B520. It's 122.2 proof or 61.1% alcohol by volume. Larceny Barrel Proof 5 B520 is the second release of 2020 and the second release ever of the brand's first line extension. It consists of barrels aged between 6 and 8 years, and it's non-chill filtered to not take out the good stuff. New releases will come out each January, May, and September, and they use the same coating system as the Elijah Craig Barrel Proof.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
The color is like a 19-year-old light brunette. It has yeast, marzipan, and vanilla on the nose.
The whiskey or the light brunette?
Both.
Sorry.
And on the palate, I got the rich molasses, hazelnut, and chocolate truffle. And the finish was different on this one. It was a sweet vanilla finish, but I only detected it on the sides of my tongue, like side palate. And it was, I thought it would be a longer finish with that higher proof, but it was pleasant, but short. What'd you think, Harm?
I don't know where you're coming from, and I don't know who you are. What first off,
planet.
Last time we did a show together, I agreed with almost everything you said, and I don't know what happened to me. But today, I don't know what you're talking about today. This is a good whiskey, but I didn't get those notes. And I don't think it's a short finish. Now, first off, that's just
wait a minute. This is better than a good whiskey. This is a great whiskey.
Okay, yeah, okay. Maury's right. This is a great whiskey. Justin is clearly on drugs. There is no way this is a short finish unless you've just been drinking too much.
He's my best customer. Shut up. Times are hard right now, buddy.
The nose.
Here, Justin, try this. you were not supposed to snort that, Justin.
Ah.
Yeah, well.
It's so complex, and I can't say I disagree with everything you said. It's complex, and because I think as everyone approaches this whiskey,
go ahead and do it because he's going to ignore you anyway.
Yeah, you're going to get different notes because as each of us approaches this, everything's going to appeal to our personal palates. So this one is just so complex. Every time I bring it to my nose, something else happens. At first, I was getting toast. Then it got sweet.
I think you have a nosebleed.
Yeah. But that was the stroke. Does anybody else smell toast? But it's
his left side's gone strangely numb.
It's wonderful brown sugar, and
is that why his wrist is limp?
Breakfast. It's like breakfast. It's wonderful, and it's rich and it's mouth coating. But I don't get any of that chocolate truffle. There is dark fruit here. There is a nuttiness. It's like candied almonds. And the finish is absolutely long. There is no short finish here. Maury, tell me I'm right. Come on.
Harmeet, I hate to admit it, but you're right.
There you go.
I think the finish is long and voluptuous and beautiful. It has a beautiful mouthfeel. I do love the rich. It's like a molasses coating your tongue. A little note of fig and hazelnut. It's got maple, cinnamon, toasted bread on the nose. To me, I actually like this even quite a bit more than the first expression we just talked about. It's of similar proof, but it's not hot. It's beautiful. It's soft.
It's only 5% less alcohol, but it comes
essentially the same. But it's beautiful.
It's a weeder. I mean, it's a different mash bill. So
it's a beautiful whiskey.
We didn't talk.
It is a weeder. We didn't talk about the fact that Larceny is a weeder, but it is a weeded whiskey, and it's delicious. I think it's Harmeet, I think as much as I hate to admit it, you hit it spot on the head.
Brent, why are we wrong?
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Yeah, it's all personal. But
right. Brent, when I think of this one, you have to think of, you know, the only other weeders out there that you are barrel proof are, you know, like a Maker's Mark barrel proof, but this is nothing. In contrast to the taste of a Maker's Mark.
Nothing.
You know, nothing,
similar. One other barrel-proof weeder.
Which that one?
Might be sitting in front of you right now.
I don't think it's barrel-proof.
It's not barrel-proof.
It's not barrel-proof.
But they make
it's
one.
It's not barrel-proof.
They make one.
They make one. Go ahead. But go ahead, Brett.
Right. Okay. But coming from the same distillery, these two are completely different contrasts with each other.
I agree.
You know,
yes.
And you can see why they made each of them. And this one here, the biggest thing for me is it just came out with this nice, like dark brown sugar, molasses and nuts right on the palate. And it followed through.
I got almond. He said hazelnut. What do you think?
Jeez.
Is it both? It's not pecans. And we're not saying pecan. I know I'm no pecan. It's pecan.
Well, in Georgia,
look at you.
In Georgia, it's pecan. In South Carolina, it's pecan.
That's correct.
You know what it reminds me of? Those special almonds.
Jordan almonds.
Spiced nuts.
You think sort of the cinnamon spice?
Yeah, that's been reminds
the
me
roasted, of the roasted spice. Almonds.
Yeah.
With sun
yeah.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
You have any of this?
It's beautiful.
This, not yet. I've asked. I
not
literally
out.
Asked for it last week.
It's not out yet. Not out yet. By the time this goes live on the radio, then it'll be out, but right. Not out yet. But. Oh, it's lovely.
There's disruption.
It is.
I mean,
it really is. And that, yeah, and the short finish stuff, no, not buying it. This one is a nice, I mean, it's still lingering.
Do we have more? Go, yes, we do.
No, we don't.
We don't.
It's behind Bob, but
oh, man.
Behind him, hiding from you, just so you don't get any more.
Alcoholic.
I'm just finishing. Yeah.
I will give him credit, though. This is, it's like, same thing. It's like breakfast in a glass.
It is.
It's like delicious. Brioche French toast.
Pancakes, on molasses, the nose. Maple
like
syrup.
Like just rich buttered brioche on the nose.
We've got another one that reminds me more of
cinnamon.
We'll
and
that.
I get it just in the tip of the nose, a little cedar note and just baking spice, a little cardamom.
I don't get cardamom, just, but maybe no, I didn't get maybe cardamom on the finish, either. Maybe just on the
not a lot of cardamom. It's just,
you know, it's a molasses bomb.
I want more of this. What's going on, Heaven Hill? Start releasing more.
Almost tastes like a rum with all that molasses.
I wish they do all the Larceny like this. Remember the very first show?
You're right. Yeah. It does remind me of a rum.
It reminds me of a high-end aged rum.
Right at the front it does.
Yeah. If Mr. Shapiro, who runs Heaven Hill, is listening to our little show, please, Max, please, 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 stop watering down the Larceny and just make barrel proof from
if you're
now on.
Listening to the show, stop listening, because remember we first time heard... the first time we tasted Larceny, was it 4 or 5 years ago when we guest hosted the show for the first time ever? And I said it should be called Felony. It's not the same whiskey now. This is much better. What
I think you're imagining things,
no,
but okay.
This is much better than the very first release of Larceny.
This should absolutely be barrel proof at all times. It's so damn good.
It is yummy.
And we're going to be giving this 4 sips.
That's classified.
Bordering on 5.
Bordering on 5.
Almost. Definitely. So close.
So Maury's going to tell us about our next whiskey.
Well, thank you, Bob. The next whiskey is the Weller Single Barrel, 97 proof or 48.5% ABV. Weller Single Barrel is the latest addition to the Weller Bourbon line from Buffalo Trace Distillery and Sazerac Company. Bottled at 97 proof, the Weller Single Barrel will be an annual release starting in June. Weller Single Barrel joins the Weller lineup of Weller Special Reserve, Weller Antique 107, Weller 12-Year-Old, Weller Full Proof, Weller Craft Your Perfect Bourbon, and William LaRue Weller. I think there's also Weller Barrel Proof, which part of the William LaRue Weller being part of the Antique Collection, which is released each fall. Suggested retail pricing on this is $49.99, which I think is an absolute steal.
And you'll never see it for that.
In Florida, we'll never ever see it.
Let's all be honest about that.
That's like Florida, fantasy pricing.
Right. ABC will stick it in their vault, and they'll make people buy thousands of dollars worth of stuff because they have a monopoly.
And you still won't get it.
And then they'll sell it to you for $50.
Yeah.
Then
you still won't get it.
And then, you're going to have independent stores like me, but I don't do this. There are independent stores who buy it retail, then they mark it up. It's totally illegal, but it happens. That's why you find it outside ABC in Florida. They didn't get it legally. That happens.
It's got a beautiful copper color. I love the color. It's just delicious. The nose, definitely cherry and mint. Definitely fades to some vanilla. It's interesting that you don't get a lot of those traditional bourbon notes on the nose, but on the palate, it's just lovely. It's dessert in a glass. It's caramel. It's baking spices, hints of cocoa. It's just an explosion on your palate with finish of cinnamon, coffee, hint of pepper. There's no heat. There's very little spice in terms of heat spice. It's just a lovely, lovely whiskey. It's not an all-day sipper for me. To me, this is a way to wind down the night. It's the end of the night. It's dessert. It's just fantastic.
No, it's a barrel, so, you know, that's... Every barrel is going to be different, but I wish they wrote the barrel information down on the label, because, you know, if you go get one and then you go back later and get one again, it's, you're not going to know which barrel you've got. They do that with, you know, with
most things.
Obviously with Blanton's, which they, you know,
Blanton's when it first came out was, there was no barrel information. And for years I thought it was overpriced crap because I tasted one barrel that was just disappointing. And then the next.
Well, there is some variability from barrel to barrel.
It's always had that on the label.
No, not
yes.
This.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes,
this particular bottle is fantastic. I would take it home and enjoy it every night.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Yeah. What do you think, Brent?
This is really nice. I love this. I got on the nose. You know, I got cherry and cherry, a little bit of mint on it, but I got flowers. It's a little bit floral to me. And that's not a bad thing. It's really nice. It's a very pleasant floral that comes through on it. On the palate, the same thing. You get all the caramel and baking spices. I wonder why they chose 97 proof. I mean, that's a funny number. It is a funny number. It's, you know, very different from, but it's the same thing. You know, why do they choose 107 or anything like that? You know, so this is very different, but it's you get the little bit of chocolate on the palate, the cinnamon, the pepper, and again I get some floral notes, and that it's almost like a, I don't know flowers well enough to say exactly what, but it's very pleasant. And I love it. I mean, it's, there's nothing wrong with it. It's very different. Nothing like any of the other Wellers that we're used to drinking. And it's not like a Weller. It's not a Weller 12. It's not a 107. This is its own entity. And
anyone you get's going to be different than the one we tried, because we don't know which barrel this is. So.
Right. We have no idea. And I don't know how many single barrels they're putting out. And I, maybe that's part of their thing, that they're only labeling it as a single barrel and they're doing a number of them, but they don't want people chasing different barrels. And because I know some people, they just want to have each barrel. They, well, I just want, well, I don't get every barrel possible, and then let them sit on a shelf and never drink them. And you know, and hopefully that never happens. Hopefully people actually get to open this one up and enjoy it, because they really, really needs to be.
Sadly, very few will, Brent, and you know it.
Yeah.
But you know, we get to. So
all I know is we have it here. So
yeah.
I don't care. Sorry, folks. Don't care. I got it.
If you can get it at that price, though, it's an amazing value if you can get it.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
Oh, the cherries on the nose. I mean, it's just huge. Oh.
I like what Brent said about the mint, because it does have that herbal component to it.
Hmm.
And
it's probably the yeast.
It could be the yeast, yeah. You're probably right there. Palate is beautiful. It's mouth coating. It's just not, it's not 107. That's all. It's you know why it's 97? Because it's 10 less.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, hey, they could have done it. And they could have done it at 90. So yeah, I'm happy they did it at 90.
No, no, I'm happy now about that too.
Now I know where you got that GED from.
Yeah, yeah.
You're the good, smart the good guy. Enough diploma.
Yeah. I'm the goodest.
Right, but I mean, it's the 97. It's, you know,
well, let's be honest. Everybody at this table wants everything at full, no. You know, complete barrel proof all the time anyway, because we're all raging alcoholics. So
I'm proof hounds.
Yeah. So that's,
I think this was done well. Though. Yeah, 97.
It is. But, it might have been too hot. You might have lost some of the nuances.
That yeah. Well, you just wonder why they don't. Yeah, I don't know. If each barrel make it different and stuff. So
who knows?
What do we rate it?
I mean, you know, it is what it is. We rated it 4 sips.
That's classified.
It's not just the destination.
If you enjoy space adventures featuring brave and competent astronauts.
Can you give me a countdown to be ready? A 3, 2, 1.
If you enjoy podcasts that are culturally sensitive.
I've been labeling stuff aboard the ship with post-its so she can learn our language.
I speak English, you bloody.
If you enjoy shows with sophisticated humor.
Well, that's just rude.
It's her spacesuit.
Then you may not want to listen to Oz 9. But if you simply enjoy giggling.
Oh, you Anglais, so snooty about all the everythings.
Oz 9 may be the show for you. Get it wherever you find the other shows you like to put in your ears. That title is spelled OZ-9. You could certainly do worse.
And we're back from commercial, unless you're listening to the podcast and you get to hear commercials. Well, you should. You should hear our commercials. They're good. We love our advertisers. Anyway, this is good old boy Harmeet, and we're going to be talking about the Balvenie Stories series. So the Balvenie Stories series is a collection of single malt whiskeys that are designed to tell a human story that evolves with the protagonists and developing unexpected twists through the years of maturation. Like, who wrote this? Come on, man. Each whiskey is accompanied by an audiobook, which brings to life the story behind each expression.
It's the only kind of book Harmeet has, because he never learned to read.
I need new glasses. Through a series of conversations between the Balvenie's craftsmen and the Balvenie global ambassadors, Jamie Patterson.
Don't give me attitude, sir.
Don't bring up my inner Samuel Jackson. We'd have to bleep everything.
Say what again? I dare you.
You know how hard it was to get that cut at the right spot?
Yeah.
It's real hard to get Sam on this show. Real, real
Your
hard.
Editors are amazing. We'd like to thank our sound engineer. these conversations that were recorded at locations significant to the narrative of each tale. And by the way, this was brand ambassador Gemma Patterson. I don't know if Bob keeps cutting off this, but there's beautiful sound effects. So they have a narrative of each one at the Balvenie Distillery and all the way to Kelvin Cooperage in Kentucky. And each audiobook concludes with David Stewart and Kelsey McKenney sharing a dram of some of the very first bottles of the Balvenie stories with the craftsmen who created the whiskeys and you're about to enjoy.
Yeah. Thank you, Gemma. She helped us out with helping source some of these
Gemma.
From there.
She was signing bottles a few years ago.
From their marketing company, Lever to Death. She's an awesome ambassador if you ever get a chance to go to
a tasting.
She has
an amazing palate. This woman can tell you everything about the whiskeys, too.
She's the bomb. Love you, gal.
All right. So our first whiskey from the Stories collection, I've got three here today, by the way, is the Sweet Toast of American Oak 12-Year-Old. It's 86 proof, 43% ABV, and it's around $80 retail.
Except it's by Jarrett's, where it's $375.
Only for you, Bob. Only for you. This is the story behind this expression.
It's $5 less.
Ian McDonald at the Balvenie Cooperage, who celebrates his 50th year at the Balvenie this year. Cheers, Ian. The Balvenie this year is in the accompanying audiobook. He talks about unique toasting process that created this whiskey and what it's like to mentor generations of apprentices. The whiskey has matured in ex-bourbon barrels for 12 years, and it was finished for 3 months in slow-toasted virgin American oak casks that were specifically made for this project by Kelvin Cooperage in Louisville, Kentucky.
Love Kelvin Cooperage. Great. They do some great work and very, very cool cooperage.
Talented very people.
Old school. I mean, not mechanical in any way. I mean, very, very old school.
So in the audiobook, Gemma retraces the journey of the American oak cast from Kentucky with the apprentice malt master, Kelsey McKenney, and who chats about her apprenticeship and what it's like to learn from one of the most respected malt masters in the industry. So this very first one, the color is a medium gold. It almost glows. The nose, it's all about honey and vanilla and there's hints of cedar. And there's like, comes out later with more apples. Just I'm getting like apples after the air that came in. And on the palate, my note says apples, 3 exclamation points, red baked, and there's a little bit of pie crust. No apple pie spice, but just baked apples and a little bit of crust. And on the palate again, it's malty goodness, vanilla apples and a little bit of just that American oak is there. It's just gorgeous. And the palate is mouth coating, but not too oily. Slightly drying, but not unpleasant at all that way. Like some people think of drying whiskeys. This is not like that at all. I love it. And the finish is going on and on while I talk. Brent, you hate scotch. What's going on with you?
That's why I love this. Because I hate scotch. You know what? To me, this one here reminded me of a bowl of oatmeal with apples and a little bit of honey and stuff is what I got out of it. It was just very pleasant, very enjoyable. You want to sit back, just enjoy this one. You know, you could have it for breakfast with your, you know, replace your oatmeal with apples.
It's like a sweet, that's what I have written down on my notes, sweet bowl of porridge.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's what I got out of it. I mean, it's very, the finish is excellent. You know, just smooth. You know, when I think of a scotch, I always think of, you know, that peat and the smoke and the things like that.
Well, how do you,
and
you've been drinking whiskey
but
for
I mean,
so
that's
many
a, that's
why,
in that.
Why
no,
do you
I know
fall into that stuff.
I know that, but we're going to get to that.
All right. Okay, we were going
to
get to that.
But this one
first
is very,
to go back to
this one is very enjoyable.
When he was dropped on his head.
Mm. Right. This one is very enjoyable. This is one that you can sit back and drink and enjoy.
Yeah. Maureen? Citrus and, oh, God.
You know, I can't disagree with anything that anybody said. I think it's a delicious whiskey. I think it's beautifully made. I agree. And it reminds me of a bowl of oatmeal, a little maple brown sugar. It's fantastic. It's delicious.
But I put cinnamon on my oatmeal. There's no cinnamon here.
I'm impressed that Brent likes it as much as he does.
No cinnamon.
For me, if you're going to drink scotch, this is definitely an all-day sipper. I think it's priced right. I think it's should be attainable. It's not in the stratosphere category, unicorn category.
It's under $100, and it's worth every penny.
Oh, yeah, I think it's fantastic. Again, it's got a beautiful long finish. loved
this
it.
This is be one that you can easily have, you know, for your Scotch friends that come over.
It's going to be post-tariff because I haven't ordered it since the tariffs went in. So,
Justin? I mean, it's just classic Balvenie. It's so well made.
If the people at Quaker Oats made a high-end whiskey, this would be it. It was really, really good. And I wanted oatmeal when I woke up this morning, and now that I've had this, I'm good.
Yeah, it's just, it's classic Balvenie. I mean, it's just
so like throwing people off with the oatmeal, please. Notes. So it's so more, there's more fruit than oats.
This candy, it's like candied orange slices and sweet porridge.
I don't get the citrus as much. Really, the apple's overpowering for me on this.
That's what I'm saying. Not so much citrus. You know, the little just gummy orange slices. You know, the little one, the candies that you eat.
Oh, the gummy orange slices.
Yeah, those things. I mean, it's sweet and it's just got that hint of orange.
Dude, you're not six anymore.
It's like butter and brown sugar and butterscotch. It's absolutely lovely. It's absolutely lovely. And we're going to rate this 4 sips.
Under protest. It goes higher for me.
Yeah, you and me both. But yeah. Okay, so we're moving on to our next whiskey.
Bob. This is so good. You need to talk
about it. We are talking about the Balvenie, A Day of Dark Barley. This is a 26-year-old Balvenie. And that's all you need to know at this point. Okay, you're done.
Oh, wow.
It's 26-year-old, 95.6 proof, 47.8% ABV. Unfortunately, it's a little bit pricey, upwards in the neighborhood of around $900, I believe.
$899.99, Bob.
No.
Just for you.
Thank you. in the auto book.
Spirits, where it's
$1,600 for you, Maury.
Thank you. Well, in the audio book, Malt
Man Robbie Gormley and Mash Man Brian Webster take us back to a wet summer's day in '92 when the infamous delivery of dark barley caught the pair off guard. This barley was mixed with their regular barley, and the resulting whiskey was aged in first-fill bourbon barrels. The first release was a 14-year-old expression called the Balvenie Roasted Malt. Later in the audiobook, Gemma is joined by David Stewart and Ambassador David Mayer and the lounge at Balvenie at the Visitor Center to see how the original 14 matured up and how it compares to the 26. I can't imagine it could be any better. There's no way in heck. I mean, this
I
is...
I didn't get this audiobook. I need to read. Hear this one. Oh, my
It's God. Like the nose is like... It's like a citrusy creme brulee with just notes of just creamed honey. On the palate, it's just vanilla and butterscotch, and on the back, like malted milk balls and caramel, and it's just got this viscosity to it, just absolutely mouth-coating. It's just, it's just... Stunning. Absolutely stunning.
You mentioned the citrus on the first one. I got more citrus here.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. It's like an orange creme brulee on the nose. Okay. And just, this is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. What do you think, Mr. Happy?
Mr. Happy?
His eyes are closed. Look at him. Yeah, he's either contemplating.
Either he's sleep or he's happy. One of the two.
Between me and Maury, depend who's most bitter that day. Not bitter today, dude. This is, my eyes are closed.
It's you until now. His eyes are rolled back in contemplative thought right now.
Oh my God. So I don't actually agree with most of your tasting notes because this came, again, everything is subjective. And to me, this one is orange marmalade and toast with ginger. Then on the second nose, I got the baked apples. And then it reminded me, we're talking about in a breakfast theme all of a sudden, this was hot pancakes off the griddle. There's no maple syrup on them. This is just the hot cakes coming off the griddle right away. And it changes. It goes back and forth to me. The thick, creamy honey note you said is actually, I can see that. I can see that. And the palate is just so thick and Mount Coast.
Yeah,
it's unctuous. It's unctuous and I love it. And the finish is huge, and I just wish it were longer because
it's so thick. They did not
give us a big enough sample. I know it's $1,000 bottle, but they could have. Yeah, come on.
Thank you so much for what you sent us, but boy, I wish we had another one.
There's five of us tasting. There's five of us.
Yes, I know. I know.
I love it. I love it.
What'd you think, Brad?
I need more. I just need more.
Yeah. This one is very enjoyable. I mean, after tasting it and stuff, I kind of want to go back and I want to get the. I want to get the audio book and kind of listen to it and, you know, listen to the series and things because I think it would be very interesting. On the nose, I got, it was like a sweet honey. On the palate, I got that, of course, the honey, the ginger, some mango, and I got gummy bears.
You got gummy
mango
bears?
Mango and gummy bears. That's an interesting combo.
You know, yeah, mango and gummy bears.
I don't get the ginger until the finish.
The ginger's there.
After, you go on the after nose. It goes down, and then you count to about 100.
And then there's a little hint.
Then it's just like the top front of your tongue. It just explodes.
You white boys don't have enough ginger in your diet. So I smelled the ginger right away. It was good.
It's delicious. I mean, like I said, I want to just I want to get the audiobook, listen to the audiobooks just to kind of remember this because I'll never be able to afford to drink it.
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe if I get the audiobook, I'll be
might,
able to.
I might open and share a bottle if we're.
That's
if we
that's
have a good
that's
year.
The thing that's killing me is how great this is, and it's just I can't afford to buy it. Oh my god.
Well,
I mean, I'm not saying
I know
I'm not saying it's not worth every dime.
I know someone who's got some bottles.
It's a 26 year old Balvenie. Yeah. I understand it's going to be expensive.
I mean, there's, compare that to some of the other big brands.
How much?
A,
I mean, 25 honestly,
25-year-old Macallan is 3,000.
How much do you think's left in the bottom of that barrel? What, 4 inches? You know, I mean, yeah. I mean, so
the
I totally
Angel
get it.
It's got to be huge.
I just unfortunately we have a palate that far outseeds our wallet.
Yeah.
What do you think, Maury?
Again, you guys have said it all. I can wax poetic for a while, but I'll just sum it up by saying, fantastic whiskey, beautifully made. If you ever get a chance to try it, you'd be a fool not to. It's just amazingly well done.
I have several whiskeys over $1,000. This beats many of them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, agreed. Listen, for the money compared to, say, the Macallan 25, you're right. I mean, the Balvenie 25 has always been in the $600 range and
this,
is now
this is,
higher.
Yeah, it's only a year older, but they've only had that Day of Dark Barley that one time. It was a mistake. Yeah. This is serendipity, you know? The name of an Ardbeg, by the way.
So. Yeah. It's a fantastic whiskey. Yeah. All right. Really best one I've had today.
Well, we're going to rate this one 5 sips.
Do we get Justin's reviews? Just skip him.
Well, we're running low on time, we're going to be going on to our next one because somebody apparently doesn't pay attention to the timing cues.
I have my eyes closed.
Shut up.
No. We're good.
So we're going to have Brent tell us about our last one.
Come on, Brent, tell us.
Thanks, Bob. This one is the Week of Pete, 14-year-old. It's a 96.6 proof, 48.3% ABV. Retails at about $110. So in 2001, Balvenie installed a peat burner on the side of the malt kin. Why would you do that? Just why? I don't understand.
Because they could.
Okay. This used to create the original Balvenie peat week expression, and the distillery continues to use it for 1 week every year to produce peated malt. The audiobook for this expression opens with former distiller manager Ian Millen recounting tales from the distillery's first ever week of peat in 2002. After visiting the original field where the farmers grew their first batch of barley that was peated in the malting kiln, Gemma, along with maltman Robbie Gormley and mashman Brian Webster, discussed what it was like to handle the peated malt at the distillery, which was filled with an intense peat reek that drew a crowd like never before. Maltmaster David Stewart and warehouse coordinator George Patterson then guide us through a warehouse tasting like no other. It sounds like you want to have it. Yeah, so... the color on this one, very light, the light gold. Right off on the nose, I get a lot of smoke. It's just, this one overpowers me on the nose for the smoke. On the palate, overly smoky, I get some apples.
overly smoky.
Everything.
Okay. Yeah, everything, yeah.
Yeah, apples, graham crackers, and lemons. But the smoke overpowers all the other things for me. And I know you guys, the peat lovers, are out there whoremongering around that peat burning fiesta.
Yeah,
you know that's gonna be they're gonna love that, you know, and that's why they're out there celebrating, I guess. And I'm gonna listen to the audiobook and find out why. But it wasn't as balanced for me as I would have liked it for some of the other peat bombs that are out there.
Well, what do you think, Justin?
So I'm guessing that Brent is saying this is a whiskey for peaty hose. All right. So
peaty hose.
The nose was like a peat bog on fire in a good way. And the palate was milder than the nose.
Oh, yeah.
There was more like vanilla notes you could get on the palate. It was much more complex. And the finish, it was pleasantly peaty with a long, subtle finish. It was a pretty well-made peat whiskey.
What'd you think, Arm?
Buy it. You see it, buy it. Look, Maury, you're not a peat guy either.
I mean, I'm with Brent. I thought that the smoke was a little out of proportion. I thought it was a well-made whiskey, but a little too much smoke and peat.
I say get it, dude. It's good.
Sissies. Yeah. Absolute
sissy. I taste the vanilla fudge underneath there. I taste a little citrus. I taste
lemon and vanilla. Yeah, I get an old leather in there. I get clove. I get honey.
It's a good whiskey.
Black licorice. Yeah, it's a good whiskey. So we're going to rate this one 4 sips.
There you go. And we got it under the wire, Bob. Under the wire, despite all my meanderings.
That's a first. Well, that's all the time we have today. We hope you enjoyed this episode. You can catch all of our episodes where you found this one, as well as on terrestrial and satellite radio, and online at iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio, CBS Radio, Radio.com, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, PRX, pretty much any place you can listen to a podcast. The easiest way to find this show on your phone is to ask Alexa, Siri, Google, or whoever the woman is that talks back to you on your phone to play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback. You can catch us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. And our tasting notes flow out on Twitter every day at @SipSudSmoke or our Facebook page, which is always buzzing with lots of news. You can also interact with the thousands of other fans on those social media platforms. You can also check us out on Instagram at @SipSudsandSmokes or at @MadeManBob. Take the time and do us a favor and rate this episode. It's a big help to us if you're listening to us online, and when we get your feedback as well. So I want to thank our host for joining us today. Thank you, Brent.
It's always a pleasure to be in the basement.
Well, you got to be in the basement. There's COVID going on. So
yeah, and you know what? If you use these bandana masks, you can still drink. If you just lift it up, you can just have a drink.
And you can just waterboard yourself.
Right.
Thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. But if I'm going to hang in the basement, if we're going to require masks, I think we should require Brent to wear pants. I just can't stand sitting next to the pantsless Brent with a mask on.
Thank you, Justin.
What a sight.
Thank you, Bob. I'll be back.
Oh, good God. And thank you, Harb.
Thanks for having me. I might even open a bottle of this Dalvini Day of Dark Barley and drink it by myself and think of you guys.
I was going to say, yeah,
just think of you guys while you're cold day in hell.
If you have to sit up when we're around, please.
Sharing is caring.
That's why you got kicked out of preschool. Well, thanks for joining us. Remember, life's too short to drink bad whiskey.
Been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.